This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. One of the most anticipated issues of Milwaukee Magazine is currently out. It is the annual Best Doctors issue. More than 500 doctors in the metro area were evaluated and rated by their peers.
But there's more to the issue than just a ratings list. From an examination of virtual medicine to going on rounds with the doctor to the importance of bedside manner, the issue is full of helpful and timely information.
Here to talk about some of the discoveries and trends are Milwaukee Magazine's senior editor Matt Rohde and writer John Ann Willem. Rohde explains how the annual project comes together.
The idea is to kind of create a central silo of listings that people can go to who are looking for a specific kind of specialty. And the way we do it is we contract out with a company that sends surveys out to doctors and then puts them through a kind of a screening process to make sure they haven't accidentally picked up any bad apples. And we sort of compile that and organize it in a way. And it's one of our most requested features. People often call the magazine looking for top doctors or asking, when are you going to do top doctors next?
And it is a yearly thing, right?
Right.
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 And so this year, in addition to the list of the top doctors, there's a bunch of great articles talking about some of the interesting things that are happening. And John Ann, you kind of led off with one about this virtual clinic thing, which is really kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. Now, virtual medicine and telemedicine have been growing in the United States, well, all over the world for years. The United States is a little bit behind where some other European countries are. But what we're finding is there are so many underserved areas now where people have a hard time getting in to see a doctor quickly, especially in rural areas and in densely populated urban areas as well. What is really cool about this new virtual clinic that Freidert has launched is that it's instant medicine, so it kind of replaces the urgent care feature. And the thing that people really seem to like about it is that rather than going into urgent care or your physician's office, you get on average 7 to 9 minutes with a doctor. These are 30-minute teleconferences. And as long as you have a complaint that doesn't require blood tests, diagnostics, further treatment, you can even receive a prescription and follow-up care just from that. Now, if the doctor who's treating you feels that you need further care, they will then refer you to a physician for more. So it's really pretty cool. And it's only $49.
Is that covered by insurance?
It's not covered by insurance. You pay with a credit card. Your prescriptions or any follow-up care that you need can be covered by insurance. But this is just a flat fee. But if you walked into a clinic like at a Walgreens or someplace like that, the cost is actually even higher.
I assume that you wouldn't use something like this if you truly have had a life-threatening emergency.
No, of course
not. You need to
not.
Go to the emergency room.
But if you think you have strep throat or an ear infection or you're having an allergy attack or you're having trouble controlling your asthma, there's a whole list actually included in the article of things that you can be treated for easily through a virtual clinic.
With the physicians that you talk to about this, do they see this as a growing trend? Is this going to become bigger and bigger?
It definitely is. And I see it growing really, especially like I said, in underserved areas, like rural areas, where there just aren't enough doctors. And the doctor that I talked to, who was a virtual practitioner, he really loves it. He was in conventional practice for a couple of decades and just got so frustrated not being able to spend the time that he needed. He loves this model.
Matt, was there anything else besides this kind of virtual thing? I mean, here we are. We're moving into the virtual world with medicine. Were there any other trends that you noticed as you were putting this together?
One thing that I spoke to doctors about was how they – and it's the eternal question, no matter how advanced technology gets, of how they interact with patients and to use an old term, what their bedside manner is. And Columbia St. Mary's has a very regimented approach where they use this acronym AIDET that's supposed to remind them to explain things and acknowledge issues and try to describe for people how long a certain time frame might be for treatment or how long they're going to be in the hospital. And it's sort of a difficult question because doctors who are seeing people in the office are kind of endlessly running out of time. And doctors who are in primary care are seeing, you know, more than 10 patients a day on average. So it's really kind of a struggle for them, even as technology has grown and they're all carrying around laptops. It's still a struggle for them to be human beings and relate to people.
And it sounds like these two things, the need for that human contact when we're sick and wanting care, but also speed and efficiency. We also want things taken care of. It's like, so these two things aren't quite meshed yet. The virtual is helping, but you still might want that personal touch.
I think that's a great point. It addresses a larger issue in healthcare that actually has led to a decline in outcomes. I'm sure you saw that in your research too, Matt. I talked to a doctor also for this article named Mark Niedfeldt, and he was with the Frederick system for years, and he said he had a great experience there, but he was seeing patients and his time was so restricted that he could sense that whatever their complaint that they came in for sometimes was a symptom of something larger. And he had to ask himself, he had to make that call, like, do I open this can of worms because I have 2.5 minutes left? Or do I treat them for the complaint and move them out? So what he finally did is he left, he went into private practice, and he actually has a subscription model now where people pay an annual fee, and that covers all their basic care. All his patients have his cell phone and his email. If needed, he'll even make a house call. It's so that he can have that face-to-face. And I heard that from the virtual doctor, too. He said, you can tell so much just by spending time with someone, watching their face, watching their body language, watching their energy level. And it's something that dedicated practitioners are really struggling with.
And it sounds like it, Matt, because the article that you wrote where you talked to Bruce Campbell, who's actually one of our commentators, and he talks about the difficulty of that patient relationship and with everything that doctors and other medical practitioners have to do in a day, just finding time is like the biggest problem.
Right. And medical school kind of drives a lot of the human element out of them. Almost involuntarily, there's research has been done. Bruce was describing that in years 1 and 2 of medical school, you kind of still have the normal empathetic response to other people suffering. And then 3 and 4, it really starts to fall off. And then they go into residency and they're used to dealing with all the sickness and dying. And to survive emotionally, they kind of develop this armor. And he has a class where he has medical students sit down and do writing workshops and free write and try to get back in touch with some of these things in a somewhat more healthy way.
Did he have any suggestions about how doctors who are in practice right now could maybe find – again, we come down to time. I think, you know, there's not time in the day for them to even talk to their patients, let alone have a writing practice, which sounds great. But,
oh, right.
You know, it's like,
right.
Wow, when are you going to find time for that?
There's a study in the late 90s that we wrote about where they planted bugs essentially in doctors' offices – around the country. They got permission from doctors and patients to do this. And they measured how long before a doctor, because somebody would kind of come in and start describing what their complaint was. They had a sore throat, whatever it was. And they watched how long it would take until the doctor would interrupt them or otherwise redirect the conversation. And it turned out that the doctors who do that, they were only saving about 6 seconds on average by not sort of going the extra mile and saying, okay, what else is going on with you lately? So having a bit more complete relationship with the patient, at least according to that study, is an easier thing to accomplish than you might otherwise think. Just pushing people through and
right.
Triaging like mad.
Which is what I think most of us think the medical experience is now. You know, you're just kind of – you're pushed through. You're kind of on a
– conveyor belt.
Conveyor
yeah.
belt.
That's
thank
right.
You.
I think it actually makes people more reluctant to seek out medical care in general.
Did you find that when you were talking to doctors? Were patients like falling off or the practice is still really, really busy?
People are very busy, and research has shown that patients go into a doctor's office with multiple complaints, and they may only get the worst one dealt with at any particular time. So that's going to – people are coming back and back and back for – I talked to the doctor about my irritable bowel syndrome, but we didn't really talk about my acid reflux today, or – I've got this rash in the back of my head that
won't go away.
Yeah,
or my foot hurts or whatever it happens to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When you look at the list of doctors that you put out every year, are the ones that make the top doctor list, are they good listeners? Do they, you know, do they practice some of the stuff that we were talking about, trying to give more time, trying not to interrupt patients? Are those some of the things that you measure?
A lot of it's sort of a social survey. So it's people who often have gained the respect of their peers. And if you walk up to an oncologist and say, who are your five best peers in town? So it's people who have kind of a strong professional relationship tend to come out of the survey.
So, John Ann, what did you learn doing this that you didn't know about medical practice, whether here in Milwaukee or in general?
When I first started researching this story, I have to admit to some bias. I was really skeptical about a virtual clinic really being able to do the job and deliver the same standard of care. And the first people that I talked to were representatives from Freidert, and they gave me a lot of information and a lot of education, and I could see both sides. But I was still, admittedly, I was still skeptical until I interviewed a doctor who was practicing and a patient who had received service. And the difference in the way they felt about the doctor, his care delivery, and the patient, the care she received, from doctors who I know personally and their frustrations and my own experience receiving care, I feel like the next time I have a sore throat and I know I need to see someone because it's just not getting better, I'm going to give it some serious consideration.
So you would consider taking that up as sort of a primary care practice?
Yeah. I would now. Well, not as a primary care. It's more urgent care. You still need to have a primary physician. You still need to have your annual physical and do your regular medical care. But sometimes you're just sick and you don't want to go sit in a clinic with 60 other people who are also sick. And that was a big feature. That was a big benefit of it, too. You can stay at home, stay in your pajamas, stay wrapped up in a blanket.
Where you probably should be.
Where you probably should be and receive equal care, if not better. So I have to admit, it changed my outlook on the practice of developing virtual clinics.
And Matt, for you, was there anything that kind of struck you in the research that you did this year, things that you might want to try that you wouldn't have before?
I was somewhat surprised by just how, in some ways, virtual clinics sounded like they were a better alternative than going into the office just because of the sheer amount of time that you seem to get out of it. And I will come out of this, I guess, perhaps being a bit more direct when I go to see a doctor myself and expressing my needs and kind of like laying it out on the table a bit more, because now I have a better understanding of the pressures they're under. And how the, you know, I'm just kind of like one person in the, you know, the many that they're seeing every day. Because a good doctor will kind of give you the impression, oh, yeah, I've got all the time in the world. Tell me what's going on. And you don't realize that he or she has just come out of, you know, one busy situation and is going to be shuttling off to another one as soon as your appointment's over.
Right. One of the things I was told a long time ago, and something I always try to do, is write down what I'm worried about so I don't forget. Mm-hmm. You know, and under the pressure of everything, bring it in with you, or in the case of the virtual clinic, have it like right there.
Absolutely. That is a great suggestion. I mean, how many times do you sit in the room and you wait for the doctor to come in, and then if they give off any sense that they're in a hurry, or if they only can give you a certain amount of time, how many people have forgotten like that one critical thing maybe?
Right. And if you just hand them the list and say, these are the things I'm concerned about, and then they can go down and triage it.
Oh, right.
And help you sort it out.
Help you sort it out.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, as always, this is such a great service that Milwaukee Magazine does, putting all of this together. And I want to thank both of you for coming in and telling us a little bit about what you found out.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Matt Rohde is a senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine. John Ann Willow is a freelance writer. Their top doctor articles are in the current issue of the magazine, and there's a link to more information at wuwm.com.